swept the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
8693 saying, a couple years ago, that argument over Davis Mills was intense. I'll never forget it. That was probably one of our better ones. We had one, a pretty good one with Tua.
We did have a good Tua one.
Good one with Davis Mills.
Davis Mills one was like, what was the ceiling?
I think it is something very nuanced. And I was giving up on him super early.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it's too soon to give up on him, which you were probably right. It probably was too soon, but, you know, I can get a little bit.
I can remember that one guy.
I can get a little pretentious at times. Who said that? Chris. I think Chris and Sam Houston said that. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. And then Phillip said, tell Joel that I listen every day. Like, you don't read the text line. You couldn't see it yourself. 0315 draft Zach Edney and Moose Shingun to the four spot. He said,
how slow do you want to be in the post?
Yeah, that would be.
Do you want a scary proposition? Today from the combine, they showed Zach Edey knocking down threes.
I saw that.
Ugh.
Very slow release.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a mock where Edey went late first.
I can't see him going anywhere in the top 15. I think he slides out of the 15.
Didn't you say last week you see him going in the top 15?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I must have heard you wrong.
Maybe he can hover in the middle of the draft. I think he can be a first-round pick. But I don't think he's – people here, it's always, oh, he was the college player of the year two years in a row. So what? It doesn't translate to the NBA game.
Yeah, I'm not very high on him.
I got two names that I like.
Let's get to those in a second. Yeah. Here was Woj talking about the Rockets' likeliness of trading the number three pick.
The Houston Rockets at number three. Okay. Rafael Stone, their general manager, has always shown an inclination to be willing to trade out of his draft spot, you know, to bring in an impact veteran player. They have drafted well in Houston, and they've blended it with some good veterans. So I think there'll be a lot of conversations with Houston. I think that pick will be available.
So there was Woj saying the pick would be available. And here was Rafael Stone talking in Chicago after he landed from overseas. I think he was in France. Anyways, here he was talking to the media about the possibility of trading the pick.
I think the caveat to it always was we'd be willing to move it if we got something that was worth us moving it. And, but at the same time, valuing the player we think we'd bring in. So probably at least a slightly better chance that we'll like the player more at three, probably a much better chance that we'll like the player more at three. Or at least we'll, sometimes that's not true. A higher likelihood that we'll be very interested in a player at three. That's probably the better way of saying it. But also potentially maybe others will too. And so maybe other teams will be more aggressive in trying to trade in for that.
He's so long-winded, Rafael Stone. Now, he does give you information. Like, he kind of tells you what he's thinking as he's thinking it. The wheels are in motion, and he is describing the wheels that are in motion.
Yeah, I think it's as he's reviewing the scenario in his dome piece, it just starts coming out, because I think he knows the right thing to say is we're probably going to like the draft pick more than anybody that offers us anything, just to make sure that people are willing to offer him a good deal. But I think in his heart of hearts, if he's playing poker, he ain't tipping his hand to you. And the fact that they would probably like to move it for a pack, in a package, to get him a veteran.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing poker there a bit, because he's talking about, yeah, this is a very valuable pick. The top half of this, the top five picks are incredibly good. Yeah, I mean, he's selling it, which you have to do. So who are the three names that you like?
Two.
These are three.
Connect from Tennessee.
Three's too high for him.
Yeah, but let me finish, though. That's what I was going to say. I don't like him at three, but I think if Rafael said trade scenarios, there could be a trade scenario where you trade down. I think you could get him in and around 5-6. Detroit might want to move up. There are teams that are probably going to be seeking, trying to get into that top three or four with eyes on players because they need a young player. I think he's a guy that could, if you don't find a veteran, that's a guy that has multiple different skill sets that could work within your offense. And the shooting guard from Kentucky.
Reed Sheppard?
Sheppard. I think Sheppard is young. I think Sheppard has a really good jump shot, but he's got good handles. I think he can give you versatility and a shooter that they desperately need. And again, I don't think he's going to go at three. I think you could trade down, still get one of those two guys. I think those are the kind of fit players, if they use the pick or they trade down, get something else, and still are looking for a young player. I'm looking for a versatile guy that can shoot. I think those two guys kind of fit the bill.
Yeah, they definitely are the best shooters in this draft. I don't think that Connect is a fit for Ime Udoka. Like, Ime Udoka likes defense.
Defense?
And Connect is a poor defender.
Is that right?
Yeah, very, very, very. He's not quick at all. Pretty underwhelming athlete. He doesn't seem like a fit for Ime Udoka if they're valuing defense, and I feel like Ime Udoka always values defense. Shepard, I've talked myself into Shepard, I've talked myself out of Shepard, and I've talked myself back into Shepard. I would really be curious to have a drink with Ime Udoka, and if we're having a drink, it's General Ben, and to get his true thoughts on Reed Shepard, because I could see the conversation with Reed Shepard being not great lateral movement, little bit underwhelming athletically, although he had a 42-inch vertical today. Yep. So it's like maybe he is more athletic than we're giving him credit for, because he's, you know, it looks like a white schoolboy. His defense really wasn't very good at Kentucky. People, well, you know, Branham, he had a lot of steals. Steals doesn't mean great defender. Like, it doesn't mean a great on-ball defender. Sometimes it means that you're cheating and you're gambling and you're going for some steals that some coaches don't want you doing. So steals is never a correlation with, like, great defender. You know who has a bunch of steals and is a bad defender? Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what they think about his defense. Now, the fact that he's jumping 42 inches shows you that the athleticism's there, and the shooting is for real. I was reading something today where they correlate your college numbers to what they expect your NBA numbers to be, and the best shooter by projected stats only is Reed Shepard. And they say that his numbers project better than anybody else from college to the NBA, or from, you know, international or G League to the NBA. That's going just strictly based on numbers and not looking at, like, measurements, you know, all the combine stuff.
The biggest concern I have with him, because he's got the bloodlines. His dad played guard at Kentucky. His dad was a really, really good knockdown shooter.
Well, if you're going bloodlines, you should take Bronny James.
Well, right, but that's not that's ridiculous. That's Daryl's move just to piss everybody off. I think that the one thing that I would be worried about is, with as good as he was this freshman year, and he won some games for them, when the stage got big and the lights got bright and they needed him the most, he disappeared in the tournament. And I think he was awful.
He was.
And I think that's something that bothered me a little bit. Like, hey, I don't care how old you are, especially because you had results throughout the year. This is where the cream rises to the top. You're supposed to step up in these moments. And that concerned me about Shepard. I think from Connect's standpoint, he's long, he's versatile. I think he's a good shooter. I think he brings a lot of offensive elements.
See, I don't think he's versatile, though. I think he's a shooter, and that's it.
See, I think he plays. I think he can play the wing. And I think the other thing is, I think as long as he learns how to play team defense, I think he can be fine defensively if he's coachable. I don't know if he's coachable that way.
Under Rick Barnes. I would imagine that he was under Barnes. Yeah. But I wonder about his lateral quickness. I don't see it.
I think that's kind of a – maybe, and maybe Tari Eason is too close to him, in that maybe you think you already have something like that. I think offensively he can fill it up. I think that he can score. He can finish. He's got good touch. But, yeah, I like Shepard throughout the late parts of the season, looking at him going, that's a guy that kind of the Rockets really could use.
His shooting can play. I wonder if they feel like he is good enough at defense to play in an Ime Udoka team, quite frankly. Because, I mean, Cam Whitmore wasn't good enough defensively the first half of last year. And is he a better on-ball defender than Reed Shepard? He
learned a lot.
You would certainly think so. I don't know if that's why I wonder. That's why I wonder at Shepard. All of these top prospects I've talked myself into and I've talked myself out of. John Hollinger, who covers the basketball of the NBA, for The Athletic. He also, New York Times, et cetera, et cetera.
Covered it so well, he got a very high job in the Memphis office, front office, for a couple years.
Did he really?
He got, like, general manager of the Grizzly and stuff for a couple years coming off ESPN.
So his number one player, like, this is the only place where I've seen this guy as the number one player. Ron Holland from the G League.
Over the kid from Australia that's coming on the heels of Wemby?
So there is a heavy bias to American players from Hollinger's big board. Like, I've noticed, because it goes Holland, Castle, UConn guy, Klingon guy,
yeah.
Shepard, Saar, Tupac, Buzolis, Dillingham, Filipowski, Devin Carter. So, like, there's a lot.
Saar is the overwhelming favorite to go
one. Yeah. Which Saar intrigues me. Because I think Saar has the biggest upside in this draft, because he's a big man who can, like, chew bubble gum and run at the same time. He's long. He's a good rim protector, but he's incredibly weak.
Yeah, he's incredibly weak. Out.
And he can defend the perimeter a bit, too. Like, best case scenario, he turns into Rudy Gobert. Worst case scenario, he's who is the very tall guy that the Rockets had? back. You were probably still working there.
Which one?
I don't remember his name.
Tall.
That's why I'm asking for help.
Tall guy, but like what position? I mean, he
center.
Played four.
He's center. No, he was like 7'2", 7'3", long, really, really skinny.
Oh,
never
oh,
played
oh,
much.
Hashim Thabeet?
Yeah. Yeah. Like worst case scenario, he's him. Best case scenario, he's Rudy Gobert. But he has like perimeter skill on defense. He doesn't have any skill offensively. So like he's interesting. I hope that he goes in the top two. So the Rockets
right.
are presented
right.
with the question of should we take this guy? Holland's got like the best NBA body. But he wasn't a great shooter in the G League. Good defender. Like, I wonder if that's what attracts the Rockets to Udoka. Castle.
Who's the
solid.
Kid, the kid from Chicago that played for the G League team in the rookie sophomore challenge or whatever they call it now. And
know.
Played really, really well. He's supposed to be a top five pick. He played in the G League this last year. He's intriguing as hell. But again, he's super young. He's like 18, 19 years old.
You're talking about Bazulis?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yep. He's a guy that I think has got a massive upside, and he handles it well. He shoots it well. I could see him being a guy, if you're rebuilding, that's a great kid to have on your team. But the Rockets already have enough of that.
Yeah, I wonder if his skill set might be a little bit different, though, because he's a little bit more of a playmaker. He's like a good passer, not like an elite athlete, but a good enough athlete.
I'm probably giving him too much credit. He's kind of Dirkish, though, in terms of...
Oh, that's way too much credit.
Yeah,
he didn't shoot
it
very good in G League.
Well, in that game against NBA players, he was knocking down shots, fadeaways, and he had some good touch to where I was like, okay, I see this kid as a guy that you could possibly develop. Because a lot of these guys come out, like, I don't think they have a use for Klingon. I don't think that with some of these guys that are going to be in the top five around where the Rockets pick, they've already got those players on their roster.
I don't know if they have a Klingon, though.
I mean, if you're going to have Alpi as your five, Klingon's a better defender.
It's the opposite of Alpi.
Yeah, Alpi's definitely a better offensive player.
Yeah, Klingon would be your future rim protector. Like, maybe never as a starter, but he's your future rim protector.
And are you burning the top five-ish pick on that?
But you can't look at that way this year.
Well, especially if we're talking about Shepard being the shooter that they need.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, we have a top three pick. But you have to evaluate the draft for what it is.
I think
not
trading
a great
down
draft.
Is a legit option as much as trading out.
I could see them trading for future picks more than trading down.
Really? Not trading down in the lottery at all?
Because if you're trading from three... They go like, why would you trade down from three? Like, if you don't love this draft enough at the top, why are you going to love it, you know, in the middle? I think they'd be more, especially when you have a young nucleus, I think they'd be more likely to trade this pick for future picks.
Yeah, I could see the only reason. See, if this was a stronger draft, I think you could do a pick swap and still get a player.
But it's not a stronger draft. So you're like, that's part of the calculus.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's going to limit what you can get in return if you're trying to trade down and still get a player and something else. But I think the way the conversation started is the way they should look first and foremost. They should be looking legitimately if they're going to trade out to get a player that can help them now and blend with the young talent that they have that's a little bit older but has a lot more ability.
It should be a fun offseason. See what they do.
Absolutely.
5240 says a pure knockdown shooter. If you want pure knockdown shooter, I think it's Reed Sheppard. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Reed Sheppard's good enough a defender where Udoka signs off on him, because I think that'd be a lot of fun. And Sheppard's got a high basketball IQ. You're right. He disappeared in the tournament, which don't love that. But Brandon Miller disappeared in the tournament a couple years ago, too.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe that's not always an apples to apples. Not that I like to see it, though. You're right. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Speaking of these trades, would you entertain trading Ryan Pressly? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, look, the dog days of summer are right around the corner. We know it's going to get super hot, super quick, and it's going to stay that way. And you need to make sure your AC unit is ready and prepared for it. And the best people to go to, Vanderford Air. They're locally owned and operated. They're a family-run business, and they're dedicated to Houstonians. You know I love that. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. They're going to do a complete system check for you. If you need a full HVAC system or just a part or two, they're going to make sure that everything is guaranteed, because there's some things that I really love, and I think that's the reason why I speak for them. One, within 24 hours of you calling them, they're going to be at your door, no matter how busy they are, no matter how hot it is. That's one of the guarantees you get. And the other one is the 100% satisfaction guarantee, or your money back on everything that they do. Top to bottom, from parts to a complete new system, everything from their work and their craftsmanship in the way that they do it to the parts and the services and the systems themselves, guaranteed. That's why I recommend you go there. I recommend you put this number in your phone now, because you never never know when you're going to need them, and you know you're going to need your air conditioning. 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL, or go to VanderfordAir.com. Check them out because they will not let you down. Dedicated to the Houston area, they're always going to give you that 100% money-back guarantee, and they're going to make sure that your back is covered once you decide that they're the ones that you want to do the work, and they're the best in the business. They got everything that you need under one roof, plumbing, air conditioning, heating, you name it, they can do it, and they'll always guarantee it. That's why I love them, VanderfordAir.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blank and Branham, Bees, ESPN 97.5. Would you entertain trading Ryan Pressly? Real quick before that, Joe Espada said Jose Abreu is doing well. He's getting 6-7 at-bats per day in West Palm Beach. He's facing live pitching. What does that day look like? You wake up whenever you want, drive down to the facility, maybe get loose, maybe you go face these single-A pitchers, you get 6-7 at-bats. How long does that take you? Maybe an hour? And then maybe you go get a lift in, and then you're done for the day? Jose Abreu is in West Palm Beach on semi-retirement.
He's got a house down there, too.
Yeah, I think it – I don't know where it's at.
Super close because he's staying there, according to – I think Dana Brown said that. But, like, you think about that, too. 6 at-bats a day on live pitching. So you're just kicking it, and then you get a guy that throws you, like, what, a couple of – an inning or two worth where you get 6 plate appearances. I'm good.
Like, what do you think that day looks like? He probably goes in around 9, 10, and he's probably done, like, maybe he gets a lift. I'm sure he gets a lift.
But they don't want him to lift as much.
Yeah, but he gets his workout in.
Sure.
Like, lightweights, lean muscle. I bet you he's out of there by 1. Maybe he has a lunch. Maybe he has lunch there at the facility.
I mean, ow. I think that they probably are doing, because of bat speed stuff, they're probably, he's off the machine where they're cranking up the velocity on pitches a little bit. And working on some things that way. I think that you're probably doing your normal hitting drills. At a certain point, you're getting the live pitching and getting these 6 at-bats. Yeah, I think it's a couple hours max.
Sounds like a fun job.
And you're getting $19 million a year to do it.
It sounds like a really fun job. Also, in the pregame, Joe Espada said that Javier will start Thursday. Okay. And that Hunter Brown will get a start against Milwaukee. Hmm. So, 6-man rotation for the Houston Astros. So, Javier, no IL. He's going to start Thursday's game in the series finale against the Oakland Single A's. I guess I can't call him that.
I hope there's some miracle adjustment that gets him way better than he was Saturday night.
So would you entertain trading Ryan Pressly? Also in Nightingale's article in the USA Today, the Baltimore Orioles privately realized they are going to have to find a closer for the pennant stretch with Craig Kimbrell melting down. They have their eyes on St. Louis Cardinals Ryan Helsley, Toronto Blue Jays closer Jordan Romano, and Astro reliever Ryan Pressly if their teams become deadline sellers. Pressly does have another year in his deal. It has to hit 50 innings for a mutual option to become a full guarantee. He does have a no-trade clause. But if you're the Houston Astros, would you entertain trading Ryan Pressly?
In my mind, it's a no-brainer. I think that where this team is and the fact that they have a surplus in that area of the bullpen – and you know that your closer of the future is Josh Hader. You know that your setup guy more than likely is going to be Brian Abreu. The fact that you know that he's at most going to be with you for 1 more year probably, there's no doubt in my mind I'm shopping him. And the no trade is something that he's got to waive, but the conversations that I'm willing to have until we get to that point just to see what I could possibly get for him, that intrigues me because I need this roster to be better now. And if I'm looking for ways to be better now, and also because you've had a depleted farm system for quite a few years now, the fact that you could actually get some assets back for a guy that within a year or so's time is probably going to be gone anyway, and he's not your closer anymore, the role that he had grown into establishing for himself here, there's no doubt in my mind I'm having those conversations.
If you can get a really good prospect back for Ryan Pressly today, anywhere through July 31st, I'm doing it. Replenish your farm system a little bit, even though it's probably not going to be a super prospect. It's not going to be like Jackson Holliday. But if you can get a really good prospect for Ryan Pressly and you're not selling low on a pitcher who's actually gotten off to a poor start, entertaining the idea of that, no doubt. Probably looking to do that. Secondly, he's on the hook for $14 million next year. Let's keep in mind that Josh Hader's already on the books for $19 million, and Rafael Montero's making $11.5 million. So you have all this money spent on your bullpen. Ryan Pressly's going to be 36 years old next year. Your farm system ain't great. Pressly's not your closer as your eighth-inning guy, and probably should be your seventh-inning guy because Brian Abreu is better. If I can get a solid prospect for Ryan Pressly, I'm making the trade right now. I'm not even waiting until July.
The big thing, too, because take the bullpen out of it, and you're also probably burning 19 on Abreu, no matter what happens, too, for more money that's tied up. If you can free up his salary so that if there's any way possible, you can use it and repurpose it to try and get a player or two in here when you are trying to make an impact next season, I'm all for that, too. Get that money off the books, get a prospect for the future, but be able to use that money to try and make this roster better when you might be a little bit more handcuffed next year financially.
It helps you on two different fronts. It helps you that you're going to boost the minor league system some. Like, it's not going to – whoever you get back for Ryan Pressly isn't going to come in here and make you, you know, a top 10 minor league system. Mm-hmm. But it's going to replenish the farm a bit. And then the savings of money. Now, maybe you could go out and spend that in the offseason for a position of need. You already have Hader in the ninth, and Brian Abreu can easily transition into the eighth. You don't want to spend tons of money on middle relief pitching, and the Astros have already spent a whole lot of money on relievers. So, yeah, I'm in on this, and I'm not even really batting an eye, thinking twice. Question does have to become, would Ryan Pressly accept a trade somewhere else? I don't know if he's in love with Houston anymore, especially if he can be a closer on a contender.
That's the thing. If he wants, I think in his heart of hearts, I think we would all be in the same position of saying, hey, look, I was a closer for years and I was a damn good one. That's what I want to do. If I have a chance to go to a team like Baltimore, it's going to be in the pennant chase. That's going to have a chance to establish a role for me as, because look, Kimbrel wasn't a long-term solution anyway. Now they're getting the big boy back. That they lost
Bautista.
That
is he coming back this year?
I don't know. I'm not saying for this year, but I'm saying in terms of closer role in the future, mm-hmm. that either you establish yourself to where you can, other teams are going to want you as their closer if he hits free agency, and or if you find a fit with Baltimore and they say, hey, we like you better than Bautista, or we want you to stick around, that maybe you establish yourself for your future with a winning ball club. I have to at least entertain that because I know that as much as I'm a Texas guy and I like Houston, I'm not going to be the closer for the next 5 years on this team.
And let's remember, too, Baltimore general manager Mike Elias, mm-hmm. former assistant general manager to Houston and was the assistant general manager when they traded for Ryan Pressly from Minnesota. So maybe it's an old, you know, guy from, you know, his past that he really likes that he wants to bring into Baltimore. 1459, if you're a good GM, I think you have to consider everyone except for Altuve, Yordan, and Diaz. If this season keeps going the way it's going, why not get some good prospects to keep the window open for a couple more years? I agree with that logic. But even if I'm a contender, I'm still looking to trade Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, I agree.
That to me, being in the race isn't going to be the reason that I keep Ryan Pressly. In fact, the savings alone would be reason to trade Ryan Pressly. Now, if you're in the race in July and you're trading Pressly for a prospect to Baltimore, you probably need to be in the mix for another decent reliever.
Somewhere in another trade.
Can fill the innings.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not going to be Pressly equivalent. Like, you're getting more for Pressly than you're giving up for the other reliever. But if you are in the race, I wouldn't want to lose the arm completely. So you add another arm.
I'd also warn that listener in terms of saying to keep the window open, you're losing. If you're trading all those guys, you're losing the talent that has to be replenished in order for you to still be a competitive ball club. So if Bregman goes out the door, if you trade Pressly, if you're trying to trade everybody but the guys that you mentioned, you're going to have to find quality players to replace them, too, if you want that window to stay open with a chance to win it all instead of just being a winning team.
I think you can have a new window and trade those guys, though, because your foundation isn't awful. You have Yiner Diaz, whether he's a future catcher or not. You have Yiner Diaz either as your catcher or your first baseman. You probably have to include Altuve in the next window because mm-hmm. he's under contract. Jeremy Pena is under contract for a while.
I was going to say, Yordan
Alvarez
Pena
is under contract for a while. Jake Myers is under contract for a while. Chaz McCormick's under contract for a while. Now it gets a little bit, you know, dicey there. Kyle Tucker is not. You'd have to make a decision there, like either pay him or trade him. And then your starters, Fromber would be a free agent after next year. You have to make a decision with Fromber. Either you extend him or you trade him. I would trade him. Javier's under contract, but he doesn't look great. Your pitching, the pitching that you have under contract is not
Garcia
fantastic.
And Javier are two guys you're banking on for the future.
I mean, Urquidy has a couple of years. Lance has a few years left on his deal, believe it or not.
Yeah, but how many of those?
And then you have Abreu and you have Hader. Like your foundation of what you have under club control isn't bad. It's not what the Astros have been in the past, but it's not bad. And it's better than a lot of other major league teams.
But if you can knock off Bregman's salary, Presley's salary, if you can start knocking off some big numbers too, then you can replenish the roster to some degree by getting what you need to out in the open market if you're savvy with it. And if the Crane gang's in charge, I have concerns.
Smart money over big money for me. 0588, I would trade Hader before Presley. Hader has been hot garbage.
Ain't nobody paying. I don't think anybody's out in the market to trade for Hader at 19 a year.
Hader's been so much better than Presley.
He has been.
Hader's been way better than Presley, whether it's just the
numbers.
He
has the no trade too, right?
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he does. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Willa Bits when we come back. You never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be great. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Willa Bits is great, just like Gentle Ben is great. I love to tell you about Gentle Ben. Just get some Gentle Ben, try it, and you're going to thank me, and you're never going to look back. Gentle Ben is the best. The vodka, best in the state. The gin, best in the market. Bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. So smooth, so clean, eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. You can do that with Gentle Ben. You'll love what's not in it, including gluten. Gentle Ben isn't going to brag about that one, though, because all spirits are naturally gluten-free. Change your life and get Gentle Ben. You're going to love it so much. You can get it at Minute Maid Park. Just stop by the Gentle Ben Bar just to the left of the Crawford boxes on your way to watch some baseball. Head to the tasting room in Alvin. Stop at your favorite liquor store. Pick up a bottle. When you're at the restaurant, when you're at the bar, ask for Gentle Ben. Or just head to GentleBen.com. You can learn the incredible story, the incredible legacy. But you can also order straight from the website. Yeah, GentleBen.com. Order straight from the site. Gentle Ben, highest craft, softest sip.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play Grade the Call.
All right, we're grading the call. You know what the what's happening today on the Astros A's broadcast, right?
Yes, I do.
First ever, how do you phrase this? First ever game that's being called by female play-by-play female play-by-play broadcasters for each team. Julia Morales is going to call the play-by-play for the Astros. And then I forget the Oakland A's lady that does it. She, of course, will call the play-by-play for the Oakland A's.
Oh, I didn't. When you were like first time, I was like, there's been females that have called baseball games before.
First time for both teams.
That's very cool.
So Julia Morales will be on the call today on the shin. And then the Oakland A's play-by-play. I need to find her name.
TK goes to sideline reporter.
Yeah, he's
going to
be the sideline girl.
Yeah, and Blummer doesn't change.
Julia Morales is going to be the play-by-play guy, and TK is going to be the sideline girl for the broadcast tonight.
All of you.
What do you mean?
Just come across this.
Jenny Kavnar is the broadcaster for the A's, which do we know if they travel or not?
They better. They were doing that as a COVID thing, and then they tried to extend it because they're so cheap.
So, there was still one Major League Baseball team that wasn't traveling. I thought it was the Blue Jays, though. I could
Canada,
be wrong on that.
Dan Shulman.
Yeah, there was one
team. Were the Orioles cheap for a while?
Yeah, they're always cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've always been cheap.
And then the one guy they...
That's my guy, Kevin Brown.
Yeah.
Not the guy who pitched for the Padres.
No.
This guy's much younger. He went to Syracuse with Paul, actually.
That's right. Kevin Paul's friend, yeah.
I know him from the college basketball circuit.
What did he get reprimanded for or something? He said something on the air that was very, very tame, yeah. And they took it very offensively.
It was so tame, I don't remember what he said.
And he got suspended.
Like we got beat, basically. Like, the Rays played good baseball, better baseball than we did or whatever. Yeah, anyways, Kavnar is the play-by-play voice for the Oakland Athletics. She'll be, of course, on the call for the A's. And Julia Morales will be on the call for the Astros on the shin. TK will be the sideline reporter for the game, which he used to do in Tampa Bay. Anyways, the reason that I ask... are the A's on remote is because there's been a couple of calls this year by Kavnar that have come up. And, you know, some people have the means or ways to listen to the visiting call, like VPN. So maybe some people will be listening to the Oakland A's call. Some people pirate their Astro baseball. Well,
can't you also with extra innings? You can get either.
I don't know if you can in the market.
Oh, that's because League Pass for NBA.
Yeah,
you can do that. You're right, except for your own home.
Like you can't.
Market.
I have MLB TV. I can't watch MLB TV whenever I'm in Houston. So I don't. I wouldn't have the option to listen to Jenny Kavnar tonight. I'll be watching on the shin.
By the way, I did look it up. The Angels and Blue Jays are not sending their radio teams on the road.
Well, this isn't a great look TV? For Kavnar then.
I Googled radio. I'm not sure about TV.
So Kavnar's been traveling then with these awful calls. So grade the call, our Willibits today. We have two calls from Jenny Kavnar. So yeah, we'll see, you know, how she does today. We'll see how Julia Morales does today. But here was Kavnar with a home run call earlier this year. Let's grade the call.
Well, hello. Oh. Okay. Bombs away for Brent Rooker. Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
Grade the call, Blaine. Okay. I thought she was Little John for a second.
Oh, my God.
Grade the call.
Joel?
I'm thinking. Like, it's like that wasn't even – that was more like conversational.
It wasn't even really a call.
Okay.
And she's radio?
She's TV.
She's TV. Because I was like, you better have seen that. Because if you're listening to that on radio, that's a Milo call. You have no idea what the hell just happened. You think it was a home run. With Milo, you weren't sure. That was a little too conversational for me. I'll give it 3.
Okay.
Okay. It wasn't good.
I'm going to give it a 1-3. Yeah, I'm going to give the home run call a 1-3.
I'll split the difference 2-2.
Hello.
Yeah, it just, man, as Joel pointed out, like if you weren't watching it on TV, you'd have no idea what happened.
That's why I thought she was remote.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, sometimes remote, you can you pick it up late. You don't know if it's gone off the bat. It's tough to tell.
Or you're John Sterling.
You're very old. So that one, what'd you give it, Brian?
2-2.
So we're right around 2.5, I guess, collectively, doing the math off the top of my head. Here's the second call from Jenny Kavnar when the A's in a critical spot tied the game late.
Rooker at second, Blade at first. That's in the air towards right field. Ryan McKenna leaps up to grab it. Over his head it goes, and coming in home. How about we have ourselves an even up game?
It's like... follow the bouncing ball.
She's the 180 of Gus Johnson.
I don't know her resume, but was play-by-play her forte to get this job?
I hope.
Because that doesn't sound like someone who's done play-by-play for baseball that often.
How about we have ourselves, what'd she say, a level game?
He reaches up to make the play that's over.
Yes, she almost like miscalls it. She says he makes the catch at one point and then like changes the call.
I was under the impression that the outfielder was going to catch it. Maybe there was someone tagging up. And then all of a sudden I got a totally different point of view when she basically described the ball falling down.
Yeah, she graduated Colorado State, worked for TV in Flint, covered high school college sports.
Where's the play-by-play aspect?
Moved to San Diego in 07. She was hired in 07 to do pre- and post-game for the Padres. Then in 2012, she succeeded Rizzo as host of the pre-game and post-game shows for the Rockies. And then Kavnar became the first woman to provide color commentary for the National League Baseball game on the radio for KOA. In 18, she filled in as the play-by-play announcer for Rockies game, first woman to do so since 93. And then in 21, she was the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year. And then February 24 this year, they announced that she'll be the lead play-by-play for the Oakland.
Yeah, I don't hear a whole lot of play-by-play experience. Yeah.
It sounds like she's done 2 games.
Yeah, she's done studio and stuff. And then she, you know, she gets a chance to do play-by-play.
Served on the broadcast team for both men's and women's college basketball games on Pac-12 Network and Fox Sports.
That sounded like an in-studio host doing play-by-play.
It really did. You know, that's why I was going to ask you about Julia. I know that they've given Julia chances to fill in before, but does Julia have play-by-play in her background? Because, look, you can describe – you're here to attest to it better than anybody, but the fact is that is an art form, that is a skill, and it takes a lot of practice to be able to paint the picture with your vocal cords. That wasn't what I just heard.
So what would we grade that call?
That was a worse.
You think it was worse?
That was a 1.
0.8.
You think it was worse?
Yeah.
I thought it was worse than the home run call.
I thought it was worse than the home run call.
Okay. I'll give it a... I'm going to go 0.8.
Are you copying me?
Can you imagine... I didn't even hear that you said 0.8. Can you imagine all of these dozens and dozens of Oakland Athletic fans that have to watch Jimmy Cavanaugh every night? I feel bad for the dozens of people that have to do that.
I got a follow up that would not be good.
Well, you can't tease us like that.
You got to say it. Or don't tease
why the A's hired her? So that the A's fans will say just that they don't like it so they can go to move to Vegas?
I don't know. You think she makes it to Vegas with them?
Ooh.
Or you think they bring in a new TV
person? Brent Musburger's there. He might still have a few years left.
He'll probably leave her in Sacramento.
Like the Radars did. Raiders.
Huh? He might not be alive by the time they get to Vegas. What is that, 3 years, 4 years?
Well, they could do like Weekend at Bernie's. He still could be the guy.
That's not going to be very good. Not going to be very good on air. So they're in Sacramento
for
2 years.
You are looking live.
Something like
I am
that.
Dead.
I don't think they take Kavanaugh to Vegas.
That's not – I just – it's a small sample size. But that's what, from what I've heard, is all I can go on. That ain't very good.
I think she does this year, the 2 years in Sacramento, and then they bring in
Lisa Byington, who does Bucks basketball, does a very good job. She also does TNT, and
she's a little boring.
This girl's voice is annoying to me.
The best women's broadcaster I've ever heard is Doris Burke. I think Doris Burke is phenomenal.
Yeah, she does,
but
well.
She's color. But yeah, but she's fantastic. I think
she's pretty white.
I think Beth Mowins has grown on me. I never used to like her, but at least her tempo and her voice is not like nails on a chalkboard.
What do you think of Mendoza?
Jess Mendoza, I like Jess Mendoza as an analyst.
I think she's okay. Doris Burke is easily the best.
Oh, Doris Burke's fantastic.
And I'm sure Julia Morales will be great. But yeah, the first ever both team female broadcaster and I think Julia would be better than Jenny Kavanaugh.
Is that the only female – so that's the only female regular full-time play-by-play announcer?
I think so.
Announcer
it was the first time,
in baseball?
They said it was the first time since like the 90s or whatever.
Because what's her name? Susan Waldman. Waldman does the Yankees
Rogers
radio.
Rogers in George's box.
Of all the dramatic things.
Roger. So you can hear Susie Waldman on the on ESPN 97.5 every single day. Every single day.
How?
She's one of the bump bags for the gag show.
Oh.
Yeah, where okay. She says, George! Yeah, she's on one of the rejoins. I've heard
okay.
it. And every single time. All right, car wreck of the day. Maybe Jenny Kavanaugh. Car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Y'all, if y'all haven't joined the club at Texas Star Grill Shop, you're missing out. Head to 975grills.com right now to join, or just mention the club when you go to any of the Houston locations. As a member of the club, you'll enjoy special in-store discounts that can't be found anywhere else. The best products in the outdoor cooking world at Texas Star Grill Shop. And they're giving you prices you won't see anywhere when you join the club. From Traeger to Weber to Napoleon, they have it all. Wood pellet, charcoal, gas, everything. Outdoor pizza ovens, flat top grills, whatever you want. And they'll beat any price for a club member. Stop falling for these tricks of walking into the big box stores, purchasing the first grill you see. Shop at Texas Star Grill Shop and educate yourself in the grill game. If you're going to buy a grill in this town, you want to talk to them first. Full, free installation. Don't have to worry about 100 pieces in assembly. A box unloaded on your driveway can be annoying. You get full, free assembly and delivery for club members. From start to finish, Texas Star Grill Shop will be there for you. And you got to get your hands on the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle going on right now. These are how restaurants cook their cheeseburgers, their hamburgers. You got to get a Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. Cook your burger so you can be the hero of Memorial Day. Outdoor kitchens, 975grills.com as well. They're the best in the business when it comes to the outdoor kitchen game. Fantastic. You'll want to check it out. Join the club, 975grills.com, for the best barbecue grills at the best price.
ESPN 97.5.
Come
coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blanker stepped out. He had to leave a little early. Family duty, daughters, etc. This sounds like somebody's going to be offed when we play this. In fact, that's what happened to Blankers. I offed them.
I mean, Spencer Arrighetti might get offed in a few weeks when Jose Urquidy comes back.
That's what I was thinking, too. Here, how long until Arrighetti's offed? And then
he's
sleeping
with the fishes.
3311 says, do you think Ace fan is listening to Julia's Doobie Do It? Doobie Do It.
I would take Doobie Do It over what we heard from the A's.
I would, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, probably the three A's fans are listening to to Julia's Doobie Do It.
Huh?
Yeah, that many. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound tonight for the Astros. Has been, he got lit up at Yankee Stadium. 0-4, 8.44 ERA. And Ross Stripling goes for the A's. 1-6, 5.14 ERA. So
the
two pitchers who are off.
Definition of a journeyman.
I bet you see like a 3-2 game. You expect a high-scoring game with these two on the mound.
There was was it two starts ago that Arrighetti actually had a pretty good one at home?
Yeah, he was okay.
It was like 5 2/3, two earned runs.
He had like
something
seven
like
Ks.
Yeah.
It's like okay, you can see some things, and then he got lit up in Yankee Stadium. Maybe he'll pitch well tonight at home. I think the home road splits are pretty big with him, so maybe that'll be good. Coming up after us, it'll be Soccer Matters, of course, on a Monday. Premier League. Dynamo pros and cons ahead of Austin FC, and then Copa America tickets coming up. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. That's a transition there. I like it.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Brian?
First one, I'm sure you saw this, but it was on the tail end of the Paul Skeens debut on Saturday. But the Pirates, in one inning, Jeremy, one inning. This is not over the full game. This is not over a series. One inning, walked in six runners. They had, after Skeens got pulled, I think he got pulled in the fifth, and there was even a rain delay mixed into this that broke it up. But at one point in one inning, they walked in, not allowed six runs, but walked in six earned runs.
That's rough.
Yeah, that apparently it's an MLB record. I wouldn't have known that, you know, what the MLB record was before I saw this this morning. But, six earned runs walked in by Pirates relievers on Saturday.
That's Little League. Like, that's bad high school baseball. Like, you can't get it over and you're just walking everybody. That's almost like a Looney Tunes. Remember the Bugs Bunny were, like, marching around the bases?
Yeah, they're doing, like, the conga around the base pass. Yeah.
That's brutal. I didn't notice that. I hadn't seen that. That's unheard of. I can't believe the bullpen's that bad. My car wreck of the day nomination, Tyson Fury's father. I'm sure you saw this. John Fury headbutted someone from Oleksandr Usyk's team. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
Usyk, yeah.
They have a fight on Saturday night, so they were doing some promotional stuff. John Fury, the father of Tyson Fury, went up to somebody, and they were talking trash, and he headbutted him, and he got busted open.
He went full Goldberg?
Yeah.
Headbutting the door on the way out?
He was like Brian Cushing, except the other guy didn't have a helmet.
And
he busted himself up. These guys are lunatics. Fury family is... They're all lunatics.
Yeah, Tyson Fury's family, it's almost like the movie... Have you seen the movie Snatch?
No.
With the people in... I don't know if, I don't know what the term would be now. Some of the terms now aren't, I don't think, seen as PC. But basically living in caravans... basically, if you've seen what was the movie or the show on Netflix, I'm forgetting the name now. Gypsies, basically, they come from gypsy background. So yeah, they come off as absolute wild man, as you said.
They're insane. Josh from Seabrook, car break of the day. The third iteration of the Arena Football League, cash running out. Several games have been canceled, and a few teams have already folded. I didn't know that.
I didn't even know they were playing.
I didn't know they were playing either.
I mean, I knew about the UFL, but I didn't know Arena Football League was still going.
I didn't either.
I actually went to a few Arena Football games way back when we had the Thunder Bears, and we also had the Texas Terror.
I think Blank oversaw that.
Did he?
I think he oversaw the broadcast.
Did he really?
I think he did.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I mean, it was at Compact Center, so that
and
makes
didn't,
sense.
Didn't Les Alexander own them?
Probably. It was in his building.
Yeah, I think that Blankers did oversee that.
Yeah, I went to a couple of those games. They were fun.
I never did. 9240 car wreck of the weekend. My bank account after my wife's birthday on Saturday and Mother's Day on Sunday. Rest in peace, your bank account. I wish that bank account well. Christian Javier needs to be nominated.
Oh, of course.
Well.
I mean, isn't he the winner?
Could be the decision makers that brought him up. Who's winning? Who's going to win? Javier going to win?
I think I'd vote Javier.
Yeah, I'm going to vote Javier, too. Congratulations, Christian Javier. You won something. Maybe not the game, but you won the car wreck of the day on the first radio show since. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He was Blankers. I am Branham. Coming up next, Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.